Hi, everyone. Before this episode begins today, I really want to just take the time to thank all of my listeners who take the time to download and listen to this podcast every other week. I'm really honored, and I hope that you've been finding value in what I've been bringing. And as usual, I just want to ask you to please reach out to me with any suggestions for topics that you would like me to speak on. I actually have trouble sometimes coming up with ideas of topics that you'd like me to cover. So if I don't hear from you directly, it makes it a little more challenging. So I really would appreciate you taking a moment to send me suggestions. Now, next, I have a bit of a teaser announcement. I have been working on something special behind the scenes and will be announcing it in the near future. But in the meantime, if you are an empty nester or know someone else who is and maybe considering downsizing in the next year or longer, I would appreciate you clicking on a survey link that I have in the show notes to answer 7 easy questions. Your responses will actually help me so much in what I'm trying to create for you. The questions won't take long, and it should take maybe 3 or 4 minutes to answer. If you're not an empty nester, if you know somebody who is and maybe considering downsizing, I would be so grateful if you would share that particular survey link with those people in your life. And now, without further ado, I hope you enjoy the next episode in which I was interviewed by another podcaster.
Welcome to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. I'm your host, Connie Whitman. So as you guys are tuning in week after week, I think the premise of the show for me is to make sure that I'm helping you navigate whatever that change is that's going on in your life. And I also hope that my guests and myself, tips, ideas, tools, free resources that we share with you, that they also provide the help that you need to be able to navigate change in your life. You know, whether it's you growing your business, scaling your business, growing clients, building better relationships, or just creating more happiness in some aspect of your life. I hope that this show provides that resource for you. So as always, thank you so much for joining us this week. So my motivational quote today is by Megan Francis, and Megan says, "Cleaning and organizing is a practice, not a project." So take a minute, look around your space right now. Is it super organized and everything is in its place? Or does your space look like the Tasmanian devil just whirled through and ripped apart your area or your stuff? So perhaps the more important question that really you need to ask yourself is, do you want to be more organized, or are you okay with your organized chaos? Now, if you answered, "Connie, I really want to be more organized," I ask you, do you know where to begin to get control of your stuff? So I highly recommend you take out a piece of paper and take some notes during today's show, because in the next half hour, you may hear a tip or 2 or 3 that will help you be able to go straight into your stuff and create more organization, hopefully forever. So today, my guest who's joining me is Maria White. Now, Maria is a mom of 3 teens in Northern Virginia. She started her business, and I love the name of it, Enough with the Stuff, in 2007, helping others get more organized, and now works with seniors helping them downsize. I'm sure you know someone that's a senior in your life. Now, she started her podcast, Organize Your Stuff, in order to help even more people get organized. Now, she can help anyone around the world get organized utilizing the wonders of the technology like we're using today. So please help me welcome Maria to the show. So Maria, thanks for being on. This is one of my favorite topics, and you know, I'm excited to discuss with you.
Yeah, me too. Thank you so much for having me. And I love the quote that you just read. I think that's perfect.
It's funny, when I started the show, it was 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. One day I was commuting to work, and you know, I'm driving to one of my clients, and I heard a song, and the song, the words, the lyrics of the song, like it stopped me in my tracks, and I thought, wow, that was so inspiring. Yeah. And then in the next second, I thought, I have to start my show with a quote because it sets the tone of what we're going to talk about. So I really, really take the time to pick the great, right quote. So thank you so much for noticing that.
Yeah, no, it's perfect. I like that idea of using a quote to set off the topic of the day.
So that's awesome. And then it's funny because when I post it on my social media, everybody's like, "Connie, I love this quote." So even if they don't have a chance to listen to the show immediately, it entices people to go back and say, that quote resonated with me. I think I better listen to the show. So, you know, it's that multi-sensory kind of approach. Yeah. So
absolutely.
That's what I try to do. Yeah.
Okay.
So let's dig into one of my favorite topics.
Okay. Yeah.
So how did you get started in organizing? Forget about your business.
Yes. Well, you know, I guess when I look back on it, I think I was organized my whole life out of necessity. I grew up in a teeny tiny little townhome, you know, and it was three bedrooms, but that was only kind of sort of three bedrooms. So I got the teeny one. And so I was always rearranging it and trying to make sure I could make it feel bigger. And I think that just naturally grew my skills throughout my life. You know, when I was an elementary school teacher, I taught kindergarten, and you have to be super organized with your classroom in order to keep the chaos from, I mean, it will just take over with a bunch of little five-year-olds. And even when I taught second grade, it was part of my routine to teach the kids how to be organized. We ended the week with Friday cleaning out our desk, organized and having it ready to go for Monday, being nice and tidy and ready to start the week with color-coded folders. And I filed their finished work in a folder. And then at the end of the week, they would go get their file and papers, and that was their stuff to take home for the week. And it's just the environment itself was organized to help keep things less chaotic for overstimulating their minds, their brains, and to stay focused. And I think that's really important for our home environment, our home offices or work environments is, you know, that clutter, like you were saying at the beginning, just that the chaos of your environment, it really affects your thinking and your clarity. So I just really feel like it's so important to have an organized environment.
It really is, because when we have clutter around us, mm-hmm. it creates mental clutter. So it's funny. I'm very organized for the most part. You know, mm-hmm. I have filing that needs to be done and stuff like that, because you get so busy with life and work and business, right? So it is what it is, right? You have to kind of sometimes say, okay, but it's one spot mm-hmm. that has that pile of stuff, right? So, you know, your mail goes a certain place. Things mm-hmm. get put back in the same way. And what happens is you actually save time because, mm-hmm. you know, if my kids say, Mom, where's blah, blah, blah? I go, where it always is. Go to that drawer on the left side, blah, blah, blah. And then they go, oh, got it. So you always know where it is. It just saves mm-hmm. time and creates less chaos. Now,
100%.
It's funny that you said we could think more creatively.
Yes.
So my husband and I, and my family actually, for 55 years, we've had a shore house down on the Jersey Shore. So with COVID, we've all been working remotely. So we usually don't go down in June because it's just very chilly down there. Mm-hmm. But it's beautiful because we have the water in the back and the whole thing. So I said to my husband, you know, I'm writing because my book's coming out. And I said, I'm doing all of this creative stuff. I needed a pattern interrupt. Mm-hmm. So I said, let's go down the shore. We can work from down there. It'll be great. So we did. And I said to him at the end of the first day, and we worked all day. I recorded shows. I trained. Mm-hmm. I did Zoom training. At the end of the day, we were sitting out on the, you know, on the deck, and you know, the water's right there. I said, I got so much done today because there's not a lot of clutter down there. Because you don't live there full time, of course. And that water for me is tranquility.
You
just think
me
so
too.
Much more clearly. Not that I don't think clearly in my office where I am right now, mm-hmm. because it is semi-organized, but just that little shift of a little bit more tranquility, not as much stuff around, again, because we don't live there full time. It was remarkable. You could see the marked difference. I really want my listeners to hear this, because we think, oh, my chaos is organized. I know where everything is. That's great. But you're still seeing it in your peripheral vision as you're working and trying to get things done, whether it's home or in your office at work.
Yes.
Through the years, obviously there's a psychological component to all of this, but through the years, what have you learned that people struggle with the most as it relates to, first of all, getting organized, and then I guess keeping or staying organized?
So I would say that the hardest thing I think for all of us is paper clutter. We're never, ever going to be a completely digital society, no matter what, you know, the world is trying to sell us. We can have every tech gadget on the planet and there's still paper everywhere, and you can't avoid it. So that's one of the hardest things for most people. But I think the hardest part with the process of getting organized is the decision-making and letting go. On the less, paper is not very sentimental, but people hang on to it because they're worried about not having that information. It's, I think, fear of not having the information at their fingertips. And yet, if they really think about it, with all the paper that they have, if it's not organized, they won't be able to find it quickly. It would literally be faster to Google the question, right? So, and I find myself doing that all the time. I might know I have that resource somewhere, but I'm like, I'm just going to check real quick. And it's so much faster. So, you know, the 80-20 rule applies to your stuff, all of it, not time and your stuff. Yep. And you have to really think about how often you're using something, because we really don't use most of what we have. You know, we use 20% of what we have 80% of the time. So if you look at your paper or your clothes or your schedule even, you will see that it's just filled with too much other stuff that you're not even using well. So get rid of it. Lighten your load. Use, you know, keep what you use, keep what you love, and that you have the room for. You know, make a home for those things so that you can actually access them when you need them. Just like you said with your kids, it's where it always is, because you have designated a home for whatever it is that they need throughout the entire home. And one of the biggest time wasters is not being able to find what you need when you need it, right? So you need to create a permanent home, and everyone in the family needs to know that. You can't just organize a space and then be like, oh, I'm all done, and then not inform the rest of the family like what the deal is, right? You have say, okay, I've reorganized the kitchen or whatever, and this is where things live now. Even if you have to put temporary labels on the cabinets so everybody knows how to unload the dishwasher and put things correctly, you know, in the right place for a little while. And then, you know, you create the new habits and they get on board, they'll figure it out. But you have to bring everybody on board, right? You can't just organize everything and then expect everybody to be totally like, oh, okay, awesome, and then keep that system in place because you haven't trained them how to use the system, right? It doesn't have to be like an evolved system. It's just a matter of creating a home for everything.
Right. And a habit, so, right? It's a habit of where things are. So you're making me laugh. We moved almost 2 years ago. July will be 2 years. And so you set up the kitchen, you set up everything. Yep. And so like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, we were living here. I kept saying to my husband, where did we put that again? And I would say to him, I know exactly where it was in the other house. Where did we put it here? Because it was a new setup. The kitchen was a new setup. So I had to train my brain of where things are. And so even still today, 2 years later, I think, wait a minute, it's something, maybe a bowl that you don't use all the time.
Right.
And you think, wait, which cabinet did I put that downstairs? Did I put it in the top cabinet over there? You have to think about it. I know I could tell you exactly where it was in the other house because we were there for 26 years.
Yep. Yeah. And you know, the other thing too about organizing, and you kind of touched on it, I think, at the beginning, was that you set up a system, you organize, but you have to maintain it, right?
Yes.
Especially with children, when you have children over the age as they grow, you have different needs for the children. You know, when they're little, you keep all the plastic dishes at their level so they can access it and be independent. As they outgrow that stage, you know, they can access the regular dishes and they can, you know, so you can now utilize the space that had the toddler dishes for other things.
That's right.
And as your needs change in the kitchen, or, you know, your lifestyle, the kids' needs change as they grow and do different activities, you have to adapt the space to absorb those new needs, right? You can't just leave everything exactly the same for infinity. It's just, that's not how we live, because we're always changing and growing. And even with a kitchen, without kids, your eating habits might change. You might get really into cooking. So, okay, now I need to rethink about where I'm storing my basic needs in the kitchen for cooking dinners every night so that it's easier. And you might just reorganize the whole kitchen because of that. So there's always a reason to be maintaining and adjusting. It's not a one and done kind of thing. Just like a diet is not a one and done, like, okay, I've lost the weight, now I can go back to eating the way I was.
Right.
You have to constantly maintain. You have to constantly be conscious and aware of what you're shopping and bringing into the house, right? And you just, it's a maintenance thing. It's not a one and done.
It's a new habit. I think everything, whenever you create a change, whatever that is. So now we're talking about changing actually physically your space. You have to make it into some form of a habit. So I'm going to make you laugh. I've been training all week, right? My clients are back. We're New Jersey. Actually, things are opening up after COVID. Great. Yeah. And, so my cleaning lady came the other day, and so I put everything away on my desk so she could clean it, where normally I have things that are in, you know, quick reach on my desk. So this morning I had to send something. I'm going to be on a podcast as a guest. And she said, did you send me whatever the link was? And I'm like, I thought I sent it. It wasn't in the email. I'm very organized on my emails too. I couldn't find the piece of paper on how to get, and I'm thinking, what did I do with that paper? Because it wasn't in the place.
Right.
Quickly, I've been running. I quickly kind of stacked things up so that my cleaning person could clean. And now I couldn't find it this morning. And then eventually I did, but that irritated me. And I'm like, God, you have to remember when you organize things like that, because the cleaning lady's coming. And I did it so quickly. I didn't do it with thought. I had no idea where that item was. It drove me. I wasted probably about 8 minutes today. That makes me crazy. I don't have any waste. So those habits, but then when you do something quickly, like I did 2 days ago, and you know, I couldn't find what I was looking for. So that's why I think that repetition, like you said, whether you're dieting, whether you're starting to cook more and you're changing your kitchen, you have to create that new habit, because now things are in a different place and we could get discombobulated really easy.
And you just said something too about your desk, is that, you know, you're keeping things at arm reach that you're using all the time. So your desk shouldn't be cluttered with stuff that you don't need, you know, or that you only use once every couple months. Right. You want absolutely to just have the things that you're using every day, your computer, your phone, you know, maybe you've got pencils or some basic files and papers that you are working on currently, but you don't want to clutter it up with all kinds of stuff, right? It's got to be clear so that you can focus and work and not be drawing your attention, because when you have a lot of clutter around you, whether you are aware of it or not, it is drawing your attention away. It's causing that distraction, sublimity. You don't maybe realize it, and you're feeling just a little antsy and you just can't focus. And it's probably because you're surrounded by too much stuff that is causing you to think, oh, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to, you know, all these things. Just like when you went to your beach house, right? You didn't have the home environment to distract you, like, oh, we've got to remember to call that person to come do, you know, clean the gutters or whatever, you know, you have all those things constantly screaming at you because it's around you.
That's right.
So when you change your environment, you were able to get away from all that.
It's so true. And it you know, that just that one little thing, it really made me aware again. And that's why I was excited to do the show too, because I thought, wow, it really does matter. The other thing, I know my listeners, you know, similar age to me, maybe a little bit younger. And I have some that are much younger. My audience seems to be getting younger, which I love because I love, you know, connecting with the younger folks. But we have elders that, you know, think about, and I want everybody listening, think how hard it is for you to sometimes eliminate, get rid of, throw out, give to Goodwill, whatever it is that you're no longer using or needing. Right. Think about someone who's older, who's lived in a house for 50 years or 60 years. And now we're saying, okay, you've got to downsize and purge. And all of those things are comfortable for them because it's their stuff for 50 years. I just want everybody to stop and think emotionally how much harder that is for someone older. Plus, older people don't like change even more than, you know, from your 20s to maybe your maybe my age, right? Late 50s, early 60s. It's hard for us. Well, think about somebody in their 70s or 80s. Yeah. It becomes that much more difficult. So
it's their memories, right? It's their memories.
Totally. So what do you tell someone when you're helping them, who's helping a parent or an elder downsize, clean, whatever it is? How do you help them? Because that's more emotional. The need to get organized is so we can think clearly. Yes, that's a byproduct. But how do you deal with, and it's for us, all of us trying to get rid of things. How do you deal with that emotional component?
So really when it comes down to, you know, the downsizing process, you are literally having to go through every single item in your home and make a decision. So a lot of the times, they need to know that their things are going to be going to a good place to be reloved. Like, that's really important. And it's important to me that we're not just sending everything to the landfill. I cringe when I hear the stories of, oh, we had to go clean out my mom's house. We just got a dumpster. I'm like, oh my God, all that stuff could have probably been reused. And, you know, I mean, chalk paint is a miracle. It's a miracle. I just want to say that is the best thing ever for old brown furniture, you know? So when we're going through the process, I really encourage them, you know, to, I try to get them to understand that I'm going to find the right home for their things. Somebody else will just appreciate this so much. And yes, no one's going to pay a lot of money for that old dark brown dining room set. It gave you a lot of great memories. You have the memories of, you know, having your family meals around this, and that's what you need to treasure and hold on to and not worry about that you paid so much money for this 40 years ago and you're only going to get $50 for it now. Like, you got to let that part of it go, because when you're trying to sell your home, that's where the money is. It's in the home, not the stuff. But a big part of the process of the downsizing should be with enough time to be gentle about the process. It's really important that they give themselves a year to go through the process so that they have the time to tell the story. When I'm working with my clients, they are telling me the story about everything in their house. I mean, and most adult children don't have that time. They don't want to be part of that process. They might have already heard the stories 5 times or 10 times. They just want to hurry up and get it. But this is the last time that the parent is going to be going through and processing through all their stuff. Like, it might have been things they haven't looked at in 20 years or 30 years, you know. It could be the things that they brought in from when their family died, right? When their parents passed, they brought those memories into their home. And so now they're going through many, many years worth of memories. They need to share the memory with somebody. And when I'm working with my clients, that's such an important key element of them letting it go. Because once they've told me the story, they know that they can't take everything with them because they're going to, you know, 55 and older or a senior community. It's going to be a condo instead of a single family home. They get that mentally, but it's the emotional piece that they need to work through. And they need the time to do it. Otherwise, if you just swoop in and take everything out of the house, it's disrespectful to just say, Mom, you don't need this. Because that's what I'm hearing a lot is, Mom, you don't need this. That's crazy. You don't need it. They know they don't need it, but they need to process through the memory and share it with somebody who can appreciate it and know that that item is going to be reloved.
Yeah.
Those are all such key pieces for the letting go process.
Yeah. So. And I'll tell you, my mom and dad are pretty good. They're 90 and 91 and they're pretty good.
So
yeah. Isn't that great? God bless
them.
I'm very lucky. Yeah. My husband's mom is, I think, 86 or 87, knock on wood. And they're healthy. They live independently. It's wonderful. But
great genes.
My dad is constantly purging because he knows. He goes, you know, how much longer am I going to be here? Mm-hmm. So he went through cabinets. They had a leaking downstairs. We always had a finished basement and the floor got destroyed. So he had somebody come in and redo it. And my sister, who's very organized, my younger sister, she went and helped him go through things, and great opportunity for him to purge and throw things out.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of decorations and stuff that they're just not putting out anymore. So I said, you know what, Dad, give them to me. I have locally, there's a consignment shop. And I said, there's somebody, because they were things that are really nice and they were in good shape, but, you know, I didn't need it. My siblings didn't need it. I said, you know what, Dad, I'm going to bring it. And, you know, I'll make a little account, and then there's extra money for you, and they could give it to the grandkids or whatever. And he's like, oh, okay. Yeah. And then somebody else could use it, because he knew, like, he goes, throw this away. It could be used. It was a cute decoration or whatever, or a bowl or a pot, whatever it was.
Yeah.
So you bring it to the consignment shop. They might get $2 for the thing, right?
Right.
So my dad gets a buck. It's not about the money, but somebody maybe that has a child that they don't have a lot of money could put that little pumpkin on the table and the kid will be all excited. So again, it's about understanding that someone else can use it. So you have Goodwill. We gave so much to Goodwill when we moved.
Yeah.
The consignment shop is another great place that somebody can use something instead of just throwing it, like you said, in the landfill. So I love that you say, give that person the opportunity to, be able to talk about those memories and the emotional connection to it before it's like, just get rid of it. The other thing you said that I want everybody to listen to, I believe that we should hire someone to help our elders, because I can tell you, like with my parents, I don't have the patience that perhaps you would have, because it's like, oh my God, I don't have time for this. Can you know you can't take it? Yes, I know that. Then why are we holding on to it? I'm going to put an ad. I'm going to put it on a Facebook ad or whatever. Let's get rid of it, right? But there, that tug of war becomes emotional distress between you and the parent, and that's not healthy either. Is that you? What you're, the last years you want to be one
exactly
adversarial, right?
Exactly, because you know, no matter what, no matter how old we are as adult children, we still go into our family home and we all revert back to our old roles, right? And you have those same conversations, but you are then trying to go into your parents' home and be the boss of them and tell them what to do, what they can do, what they can't do. And of course, they're like, I'm having none of that. I'm your mother, you know? So it does create that adversarial role, and it creates the friction that should absolutely not be created at this point in their lives, right?
That's right.
They deserve to be respected. They're your parents. They're the adults, right? They're the ones who raised you, and you need to come in there without that agenda to like, we just got to get you out. Yeah, they know that, you know, for the most part, most of them do. And they just don't know how they're going to do it. So to hire somebody who knows how to do it, to help guide them through the emotional roller coaster ride that is downsizing, will help them. And believe me, they might at the beginning think like, oh, I can't get rid of anything. As they go through the process, especially if they know where they're headed and they have that, they've got a floor plan, we know where you're going, like, you know, this won't fit. So the reality sets in, and boy, I tell you, once you get past that little beginning hump, they get it and they get on board and they're like, oh, I can't keep that. And they will get there. It just, at the beginning, you need to be a little gentle. I always start with things that are not at all emotional or tied to the memories. We start with easy stuff until they have gotten some momentum and realize this is going to be a lot of work. I'm going to have to start making more decisions more quickly. And then, you know, it happens. And I tell you, it is a gift for the parents to do the process before it is necessary, before they fall and break a hip and now they're just, they're not coming back home to the house. Now who has to make the decisions? The adult kids. You don't want to have your children make decisions about your stuff. Not only will you not get to go through and appreciate the memories again, but you've got to rely on your kids to just make all the decisions and hope that they're going to do. Yeah. So it's an opportunity for the parent to, you know, to have control over the decisions of what stays and what goes, where the things are going, who they want to offer them to, if that's something that, you know, family members would want. Don't burden your kids with your stuff, though, by the way.
Yeah.
So, you know, the guilt just feeds resentment. So don't guilt your kids into keeping stuff that you think they should have or want.
That's
you know, it's just different generational wants and needs and aesthetics and all. So
they're saying that like the millennials, the next generation,
they
don't want China.
Mm-mm. Nope.
So we, you know, when I got married, the China and the crystal and the China cabinet.
Yep.
And my nephew's getting married and he goes, we're not having China. We're not having a dining room set. Why do you need a dining room that you use once a year?
Twice a year. Yeah.
So we giggle it with him. And so whenever, like if my sister invites us over for dinner and he's going to come and have dinner too, she'll put the China out just to torment him because it's fun. And he's like, really?
You know? Yeah.
But these kids don't want the China.
They don't.
Important to us might not be important to them. We have to be mindful of that. So Maria, I have a question for you. What tips, let's leave the listeners with, what tips do you have for people who want to get started with organizing their home, their office, whatever it is, but they're like, I don't know where to begin. So what tips would you give them?
Okay, you got to start really small, especially if you feel completely like there's no way I can get through this area. You know, it doesn't matter what area. Just start with one drawer or one corner, one small surface, whether it's the end table, you know, in your living room or side table of your bed, or if it's your desk, you know, just focus on the top of the desk. Don't worry about every drawer. Or maybe do one drawer. You will get some momentum going as you start realizing like, okay, I've got this, I'm doing this. And then maybe you'll end up doing two drawers. You can gamify the process as well. I love gamifying the process because I don't know, if you're competitive in any slight way, it'll be fun. set the timer, you know, set your timer and be like, okay, I'm going to clean this drawer out. You know, everyone has a junk drawer in their kitchen, right? So just say, I'm going to tackle the junk drawer. I'm going to give myself 10 minutes. So race the clock to see so that you will make decisions faster, because sometimes people get hung up on the decision making and they're like, ah, I might need this someday. You know, they don't want to get rid of it because they might need it or they spent really good money. So donate what you can. Give away on Facebook Marketplace if you just know you can't donate it, but it's perfectly good. Let's give it to somebody else who can use it. Awesome. Use those resources. So start small and then it will build.
Yeah, I love the timer too, because that's the mm-hmm. other thing. I know when I have to clean something, like let's say my, and it's funny, I just said to my husband, I got to clean that closet. It's just disorganized mm-hmm. now because yeah. you run and mm-hmm. throw and run and throw.
Yeah.
And I had a bag that I started putting clothes that I just know I'm not going to use anymore. And I'm thinking mm-hmm. I need to send them to Goodwill. And then it, yeah. I got busy and it was yeah. left there. So I thought, mm-hmm. I said to him, I really have to start. So I thought, you yeah. know what? I'm just going to take an hour this weekend. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do this section. Whatever I get done yep. in that hour, I get done in that hour. It's better than nothing. Mm-hmm. And then when exactly. I have another hour, I'll do the next section for that hour. By the exactly. even if it takes me 5 weeks mm-hmm. and you know maybe 5 hours to get through the closet, right. it's not that I took a whole day that I think, oh, what a waste of a day to yes. clean the closet. It's not as burdensome on me personally. That's mm-hmm. just how I kind of attack things. Sometimes compartmentalizing mm-hmm. Is easy, but I love the timer.
Yes.
you know, beat
yes.
the clock kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I love that timer because if you only have the 10 minutes. As yep. soon as the 10 minutes is done, you think, all right, whatever I did, I'm done.
Yeah. And everyone can find 10 minutes, right? And it's a good way to also for the kids to like, just like, okay, we're going to race the clock. Like, let's see who can, you know, get the most stuff out of the family room or put away, you know, clean up their room. You've got 15 minutes or whatever. You can gamify all of that. But you also, like, another tip I would say is put it on your schedule. Like, if you know you have projects that you want to do, actually put it on your schedule, just like you do a doctor's appointment or anything else, you know, girls' night out, put an hour or 30 minutes or whatever it is on your calendar so that you have the time and there's no excuse like, oh, I meant to do that this weekend and I didn't think about it. You know, you didn't think about it because it wasn't on your calendar. So commit, you know, if you really want to do something, you have to commit to it by putting it on your calendar.
Yeah.
So that would
schedule
be my next
work.
Tip.
Yeah, they schedule. Do. Start mm-hmm. small, pick 2-inch by 2-inch space if that's all
absolutely.
The time you have.
Yeah.
And schedule that time, beat the clock, set your mm-hmm. timer. I just love that idea because I am competitive.
Me too.
I like to
that.
Do things fast, yeah. you know.
And then you can try and beat yourself the next time, right? You're like, love okay, it. You know.
Yes, love it. It's yeah. funny. Sometimes, you know, you're like, I'll be following my husband home from, you know, wherever, right? We took 2 cars because like we drove my parents and yeah. the kids, right? So we mm-hmm. had to take 2 cars. And then we're following each other and he goes one way and I think I'm going to go the other
yes.
way. I have to beat him. It's the most ridiculous thing.
I do that.
And then we pull in and I go, I still, and even if we pull at the same time, but I was ahead of him.
Right.
Likely he let me go. I go, you know, I beat you. And he goes, I didn't know we were racing. Right.
So then, well, you should have.
You should have known me, right? Everything is a game. So
right.
I love
right.
it.
I yep.
love it. That's
I
funny.
Love that. That's
so we're out of time. Rhea, thank
okay,
you
yeah.
so much. And
no
I hope
worries.
The tips helped everyone.
Yeah.
So you guys, if you need more Maria, which I mm-hmm. think we all do in our lives, go to her website. It's Enough mm-hmm. with the Stuff. Enough mm-hmm. with the Stuff. And Enough is ENUFF mm-hmm. with the Stuff.com. Also, you can email her directly if you have a quick question or you want to run something by her, maybe to, you know, just see if she would be compatible with you or with your parents or whatever is going on in your life. Email her at Maria@enoughwiththestuff.com. Enough is ENUFF. Also, tune into Maria's podcast if you'd like tips to continue on your journey of getting organized and maybe parking the Tasmanian devil in your life, which could be you. Go. Her podcast is Your Stuff.
Organize your stuff.
Yeah. And it's on all the podcast mm-hmm. platforms. So Organize Your Stuff, another way to reach her. Also, yeah. if you are looking to communicate more effectively with your boss, your peers, your mother, your father, your sister, whoever it is, take my communication style assessment. Go to WhitmanAssoce.com/ CSA, Communication Style Assessment. You get a little report, tells you who, what your superpowers are, and it tells you what your blind spots are. We all need to be aware and mindful of our blind spots because sometimes they derail our conversations and connections with our clients, our family, whoever it might be. So check that out as well. WhitmanAssociates.com/CSA. Maria, thank you so much for being on, sharing your tips, making it fun, right? I think we hope there was an element of fun in that. You know, we joked around a little bit. But my biggest takeaway is the patience with our elders, that emotional charge is great because they've had those memories for 50, 60 years sometimes. So it's very hard to give things away. And I know myself, it was hard to give things away. It's like, oh, and I'll give you a really quick example before we sign off. When we moved, we had a swing set in the back. I can't tell you the number of memories with nieces, nephews, and what have you. It was really getting bad. So we knew we had to take it down. My kids weren't using it anymore. And we knew it wouldn't be a good asset to sell the house.
Right.
So my husband had to go out with a saw, and it was a wood one, you know, take it apart. And when he went to do it, I said to him, don't do it yet. He goes, why? I go, and I'm not an emotional person. And I said, you can't do it yet. Just let me get my head wrapped around it. 2 weeks later, I said to him, you could take the swing down whenever you want. But there was an emotional charge. So I want everybody to think of that especially as you start to throw things out. Sometimes just park it, get your head wrapped around it, but we know what we have to get rid of. So again, start small, all the tips Maria gave us. So thank you again, Maria. That just popped into my head. I wanted to share that real quick at the end. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun. I really appreciate it being here.
I always enjoy chatting with you. We always have some good laughs. So thanks again. You guys, thank you for joining us this week. And I hope you continue to join us as we question, build, and discover together that change, no matter what that means to you right here, right now, you've got it. We're here. We have all these resources, my guests, myself, or whatever you need. We're in this together. But you have to choose to make that change. So please choose something and choose it wisely. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. Thank you, everyone. And I really wish you an inspired week, one filled with change, and get organized. Put that Tasmanian devil away. Bye, everybody.
After listening to this podcast today, I hope you have some useful takeaways and feel super motivated to get organized. But maybe you're at a loss with how to start or where to go next in your organizing journey. Wouldn't it be amazing to have me right there to guide you through the process when you're losing motivation or feeling stuck with what to do next? I may not live near you, so through the wonders of our modern technology, I can be right by your side. Virtually, of course. You heard me. I offer virtual organizing. Reach out to me through my website linked below, and we could schedule your first session today. Also, don't forget to reach out to me on social media with comments about an episode or a topic you would like covered in a future podcast. Links are below in the show notes. Go get your organizing on.